I'm checking to see if the closed captions are showing. I don't see them. We've got it on that computer, but not this one. Yeah. Oh, there it is. I had clicked it about like too many times, like the turning on the lamp. So there it is. Thank you, Kim. Another technological victory, and I'm ready when you are.
All right, I'm ready. Okay, I think we'll call this meeting to order and start with the roll call.
I'm filling in for Stephanie this
morning. Oh, good for you.
Last month I was Susan Fowler. This time I get to be Stephanie. Susan Fowler.
Oh, I guess you're her again.
Georgiana Schuster.
Here.
Kim Fisher. Here. Ann Robin.
Here.
Leah Taylor. I don't know if... Sure.
You count, Leah.
You're here.
Oh, and I'm here, too.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
I knew I had to save you for last, and then I just completely forgot about you. Sorry.
No problem. The next thing is the approval of the agenda. Needham. Thank you. Thank you. That was Kim, if you didn't hear. Okay. Any discussion changes? No. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No. Okay. Very good. All right. Next up are the schedules, the acronyms and glossary section, and then which needs no action on either one, citizen input. Do we have any citizen input today? All right. Moving on. My comments. I did a really interesting thing last week that I hope that all of you will learn about and get involved in at some point. There was a meeting in Springfield that was instigated by a letter from a parent to the governor. And Lynn is going to share that with the board members. I can send links to it to people who are interested if you just email me. It was from a letter from a parent in Naperville. And she sent a long, lengthy letter about the need for systems change in Illinois, 11 pages worth, so I'm not going to read it to you. But the governor was so moved that he asked his assistant, Ryan Croak, to please contact this parent. And what it ultimately resulted in was about 50 people meeting in Springfield, including three people from the governor's office, several legislators, a number of providers, a lot of parents and self-advocates. It was an incredible day that we spent together. And just the beginning conversation about how the state is now 50th out of 50 states and the District of Columbia in serving people with disabilities and how that needs to change and why it needs to change. And I hope that all of you at some point can get involved. It was a really terrific movement. And again, as I said, I've got a lot of information I can share with you. Just email me and I can send it along. And that's my comment for today.
And my comment is simply to ask everyone to sign in. If you're in the room, sign in on the paper sheet and help yourself to coffee or water. And then if you're on the Zoom, sign in and indicate your agency affiliation. This helps us to keep track of who was here and how to spell your name. And I think I've, given the board packet and all of the business for the board to attend to today, that I have said enough. And when we get to the new business item C, I did make an error. So I can always disrupt a meeting. That's what I'm going to do today. Okay.
You're going to be the disruptor.
I'll be the disruptor.
Okay. That's fair. We need to approve the meeting minutes, which are on page 21 through 23. Do we have a motion to approve those?
I motion to approve.
Okay. Anne, thank you.
Move to approve.
And I'll make a second to that motion.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, thank you very much for that vote. And moving on to the vendor invoice list. Page 24.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
And I'll second.
Any discussion on that? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, well, I can, as long as I have somebody to tell me, I'll be good. Okay. Thank you for paying attention to that. Okay, staff reports are included. There's no action, of course, needed on this, but as always, the staff has done a really nice job of, first of all, getting involved in doing so much work, but also for reporting it to us. New business responses to draft fiscal year 25 program summaries and reviews. So, where do we go from here?
You may have already seen these. These are answers to questions that were either posed by the board during the April meeting or by staff in the reviews of applications. So, you can, I don't know if you've all had a chance to read them, but okay.
It's 50, starting on page 58 of the packet.
Oh. Okay.
I was looking at the wrong one.
Oh, no, you're right.
No, I wasn't.
47.
47? Okay.
47 to 57.
Got it. Okay.
Those are the comments from
Oh, those are just
staff.
The comments.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no action that needs to be taken on that. All right. Staff recommendations for funding, page 58 to 72. Yes.
Vicki?
Yes.
Just real quick, for the previous item, like what I read, we're good, right?
That was my impression.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify. Okay.
Yeah, that we have the funds to be able to do all the stuff and everyone's concerns were resolved, right? In short.
There are a few things that we as staff can work on during the contract phase, which, you know, as soon as you decide what to award and then authorize me to do contract negotiations, we are confident that we can address any remaining concerns prior to contracting. And then there's always a bunch of special provisions about, you know, certain providers collaborate with similar providers, that type of stuff. That's all in this decision memo. So we wanted to be really clear so you can see all of the things that we think we'll address before and during the contract year. So that's in this memo coming up.
Okay.
Wait, real quick, sorry. So I tried to get in, but I need to speak up more. So I'm actually on 12A real quick.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify from my reading of this, the agency's responses, that any issues with the applications and the narratives and the budgets are going to be, it's all good, and any issues will be between agencies and staff. And we do not, we're good.
You could certainly weigh in on anything that you like, but we're really confident that we will have enough time and that these are actually, you know, people we've partnered with for a long time that we can get there. Yeah.
Okay. That's good news. So in the vote, which is where we are, mm-hmm. starting to vote on these different proposals, do we need to have somebody read each of these paragraphs, or do we just need to have the motion and the vote?
You need to read the motion.
Well, the vote, there's a paragraph description.
No, you don't
above that.
Need to.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Just as the former president, we never used to do that.
It's
just the motion to approve.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
Very good. Okay. All right. So, Anne, would you like to read that first motion?
I would be delighted to read the first motion. I move to approve CCDDB funding of $418,000 $845 for CCRPC Community Services Decision Support PCP, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize a CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
We have a second for that?
A second.
Second by Kim. Thank you very much. Any discussion? All those in favor say roll call, that's money. Yes, okay.
Stephanie's actually back, so I don't know if she is.
She's ready.
Me?
Yep.
You look ready.
Okay. Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Not here.
Is Susan not here?
Susan is not here today.
Okay. Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, moving on to the next one, DSC Service Coordination. Kim?
I'll just read it. Okay, motion to approve CCDB funding of $520,500 for DSC Service Coordination, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
A second?
Second.
Any conversation, discussion on this one? Microphone.
Battery's dying.
I think we need to get you.
Okay. Where was I? We need a roll call, please.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. And the motion carries. Home life. Georgiana, you want to take that one?
I will. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $213,000 for Community Choices Incorporated Inclusive Community Support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. DSC Community Living, motion to approve CCDDB funding of $615,000 for DSC Community Living, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. Motion carries. Community Choices Transportation Support.
My turn.
Okay.
I move to approve the CCDDB funding of $171,000 for Community Choices Inc. Transportation Support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
Thank you. Any discussion on this one? I have one comment. I would like for next year to see an effort to increase this to cover evening hours as well. Very important for people who need to get out and do those things. So, yeah, thank you so much for doing it to begin with. Roll call, please.
I think we need a second on this, unless I missed it.
Stephanie, I didn't have my mic on. I second. It's Kim.
Oh, you seconded. Okay. Kim seconded. Okay.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. Motion carries. Clinical Services.
Okay, I'll take that one. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $260,000 for DSC Clinical Services, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
And we need a second.
I will second it.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander.
Yes. Motion carries. DSC Individual and Family Support.
I'll take that.
Thank you.
Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $308,000 for DSC's individual and family support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
And we'll need a second on that.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander.
Yes. And that motion carries. This is easy so far. Okay, persons assuming control of their environment. PACE, I'll make a motion to approve CCDDB funding of $45,972 for persons assuming control of their environment, consumer control in personal support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. Motion carries. Community Choices Customized Employment. Anne, you want to take that one?
I move to approve the CCDDB funding of $239,500 for Community Choices, Inc. Customized Employment, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement. I will second that.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. Okay, Georgiana, you want to take the next one?
Yes.
That would be community employment.
Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $500,000 for DSC community employment, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
I'll second that. Is there any discussion? Roll call, please.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander?
Yes. Motion carries. Employment First is the next one on the list. Anne, you want to do that one?
Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $98,500 for DSC Community Choices Employment First, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
A second?
Second.
Thank you, Kim. Any discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes.
Vicki Nyswander.
Motion carries.
I'm going to bring them all out here.
just put them around me. I usually keep it on all the time, but whatever. That's fine.
We're going to make sure you're
yeah, good. Okay. I just...
Keep it on.
Yeah. Yes, and Kim, can you take that one, please?
Sure. A motion to approve CCDB funding of, oh, wait, did I?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, of $213,500 for Community Choices, Inc., self-determination support, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
I will second that one. Any discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. Motion carries. The next one is, if Georgiana, if you could take that on 67.
All right. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $950,000 for DSC's Community First, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Connections. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $115,000 for DSC Connections, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. Moving on to CCRPC Community Services. And that one is, let's see, whose turn is it? Yours? Sure, why not?
Yes, I'll take it. Motion to approve IDD Special Initiatives funding for CCRPC Community Services Community Life Short-Term Assistance for a two-year term with $232,033 contract maximum per year, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement pending similar approval by the CCMHB.
Second. I will second that.
Okay. Any conversation there? Your microphone is off again.
Oh. I'll turn it like this so I can see the little red thing. So any discussion on this one? No. Okay. Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. Motion carries. Workforce development and retention.
I'll take that. Motion to approve CCDDB funding of $244,000 for DSC's workforce development and retention, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum, and to authorize the CCDDB executive director and board officer to execute the agreement.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander.
Yes. That motion is carried. Moving on to CC Head Start. And that will be me. Motion to advise the Champaign County Mental Health Board to use $216,800 of IDD set-aside funds per year for a two-year term for CC Head Start Early Childhood Mental Health Services.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please. Well, is there any discussion? No. Okay, I didn't think so. Roll call.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Vicki Nicewander?
Yes. Motion carries. And you're up next.
Motion to advise Champaign County Mental Health Board to use $16,145 of IDD set aside funds for CU early and to offer a 2-year term.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Vicki Nasswander?
Yes. Okay, that motion carries. Now we're at contract negotiations and special notifications. This one is a motion to authorize the executive director to conduct contract negotiations as specified in this memorandum. We need a second for that.
I will second that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, we're all seconding.
Generous. Any discussion? And this also is a roll call?
We can go ahead and do one if you want.
Okay, sure, why not? We're on a roll.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Vicki Nasswander.
Yes. And then we've got another one below that, if you want to take it, Ann.
This is a motion to authorize the executive director to implement...
No, we just did that one below it.
No, she's doing it.
No, is she?
It is the same.
It's the same memorandum.
It's not the same.
This is the doomsday clause.
So this is the obligations of the board will cease immediately without penalty or further payment being required. Do I need to read that?
Yeah.
If in any fiscal year the tax that is levied, collected, and paid into the Developmental Disabilities Fund is judged by the CCDDB executive director not to be sufficient for payment as delineated in the terms and conditions under this contract, therefore, motion to authorize the executive director to implement contract maximum reductions as described in this memorandum. It is not the same. So it has to do with reductions. Okay.
Right. And I will second that motion. Any discussion?
Your microphone is not on.
Any discussion? I seconded the motion, by the way. Okay, let's do a roll call on that one, too. Sure, why not?
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster.
Yes.
Vicki Nasswander.
Yes. And Georgiana, if you would do the last one on this section, that would be great.
Would you like me to read this whole section, the CCDD, DDB requirements?
No, just the motion below.
Just the motion, okay. Motion to include in all PY 2025 contracts the provision for specific exceptions to funding requirements and guidelines as described in this memorandum.
I'll second.
Kim seconds. Okay. Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Vicki Nasswander?
Yes. And the motion is carried. And thanks to all of our agencies that wrote all these grants and did all the work to put them forth, and it's fun giving away millions of dollars, isn't it?
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
I also want to publicly thank Susan Fowler and Lynn Canfield for putting together the process by which this board and I believe the Mental Health Board are now reviewing all of these contract requests. This process has been going on for a number of years now, very successfully, and has streamlined and made it possible to have a meeting like this where we've already had the discussion. People have already thought about the substantive issues. We've already gotten our questions answered. And so we can have a streamlined meeting like this with allocations dispersed. So thanks to Susan Fowler and Lynn Canfield for years ago putting together this process, and thanks to everybody for participating in it.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Moving on to our first decision memorandum of the morning, recommendations for changes in agency reporting. I think, Lynn, maybe this needs a little of your explanation.
And it gives me an opportunity. Does this work? Yeah. It gives me an opportunity to make a comment on the last part, which is just while you were going through it, I was struck by, thank you for thanking me for the process, but I want to say thank you to the board for trusting our staff. We take these applications very seriously, I think you could tell, and mm-hmm. really look at all of the details. It doesn't matter whether we think it'll be funded or not, we're putting a lot of attention into it. And I think we all, as a group, appreciate the context in which the agencies are operating, where as much as board members and agencies might have dreams of much better things for people with developmental disabilities, we all still have to think about stabilization. It's sometimes quite a downer, but today I'm very grateful that you all trust us to take care of what's happening with this money and to maintain, you know, pretty robust relationships with the agencies in order to make sure that we can be accountable for it. So
yeah,
that's my gratitude. And then along those lines, we do need to update processes pretty regularly as we learn what's not working. So this memo starts with some things that we updated during the last application cycle, things that were not working that were creating barriers for agencies. But on the background, what I really wanted to do was significantly update the reporting requirements that all the agencies have in front of them. This document uses a whole lot of input from the agencies themselves, from members of this board, from members of the mental health board, from a statewide funder, from, you know, our own staff did a lot of research. Like, we were way out of date with the zip codes. So, like, just some very basic things that we had not kept up with. So my hope is that this set of changes will improve the situation for agency reporters, and then also when we're reporting out aggregate data that it's relevant. So there are changes to registration and application is the first set. Those are things we've already done. That was problem solving when the problems were happening. We hope those things will be better. Then here we are in the changes to report categories. We have not been collecting language data, so that's a new question. And that's, we also understand that it could take a while for agencies to be able to collect all these data, so first year can be a transition year for sure. And then the age categories are a little bit matched to the states by adding back 75 and up. And then race categories are updated and also adding ethnicity back into it as it was a long time ago, which this is apparently more standard again. So there are two categories or two items that I missed here. So at the, you know, you can go through all of the changes that we're proposing, and then at the very end, well, there are a couple of other, I want to get back to the demographic categories, but we also have had a long-standing problem around the variance reporting, that the requirement we have is not really a one-size-fits-all. So after many conversations between Chris and agency reporters and myself and our consulting CPA, we wanted to make a very mild update. This might not work for everybody, but just raising the threshold for per line item to 500 from 100. So that's, you know, maybe still not enough, but it's been a long time in the works. Then the next one was Chris checked in with our consulting CPA and confirmed that the equipment threshold of, do you want to explain this one? Okay, I mean, I just quoted you in here, just that we should raise the threshold for what counts as a capital purchase, because it's $1,000 is very, very low. So that apparently the new IRS standard is $2,500 anyway. There are some cautions around it, but that's for the agencies and their auditors to move through. For our purposes, we want to, that is the thing that in your last motion in the other memo, you are allowing us to update from the funding guidelines. In the contracts, we can now make this change and leave the funding guidelines at that lower threshold without revising the whole funding guidelines. So thank you for allowing us to do that. We think this will be a lot easier for people. Then the last change won't start this year, but we wanted to make sure to include it in any contracts that are for a two-year term so people know. We are finding it very hard to deal with the Friday deadline and then get payments made on the following Monday. So for all of the quarterly reports, we want to push it to Wednesday. So then we have a couple days to really look at what has been submitted in order to issue payments in a less chaotic way. And Chris never makes mistakes, but I do, so that would be really helpful to me. Okay, so anyway, I have a little bit slightly revised motion for you.
Okay.
For this, just to add in two categories that I forgot. Okay.
Okay. Before we read the motion, does anybody have any question or discussion at all? I guess very well explained. Thank you, Lynn. Motion to approve the revised demographic and residency report categories and revised financial variance and equipment expense report thresholds to take effect July 1, 2024, and to approve the reporting deadline changes to take effect July 1, 2025, as proposed in this memorandum and with the addition of Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, and South Asian to the race ethnicity category. And we'll need a second on that.
I'll second.
Thank you, Kim. Any discussion? And I think we can do a voice vote on this?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Thank
you. Your microphone's out.
Off again.
Oh, my gosh.
Motion. I voted yes, and the motion carries. Okay, back to the agenda. Where are we?
The next decision, about three-year plans.
Three-year plan timeline, page 79. Okay.
There's a whole bunch of background you can see if you want. Basically, the DD board is not required to have a three-year plan at all, but you have always had one since 2005. It's maybe considered a best practice. We routinely get good assessment information. We can use the PUNS database to understand unmet needs. We can use the, there's a product that you purchase through the Regional Planning Commission that adds information to that. So we're in a good position for needs assessment on an annual basis. But the three-year plan timeline could be shifted forward 1 year, and then it would align with all these other three-year plans in the community. But to shift it forward 1 year, we need to know what to do this year.
That's true. So I'm sure you all read the different options here. Let's do first, we can't really motion anything until we decide what we want to do. So, Kim, what do you think?
I would argue that we should just keep what we have, and then just align with the rest of us. It's less work for everybody, and we're on a good path. So,
yeah, I would agree with that.
I would be inclined to agree with that, but I also would like to ask for staff input as to what they would find the most helpful.
Oh, did someone ask me a question?
Yes.
What would be most helpful to us? I think that, you know, the extension of the current three-year plan is where they're starting, and then what would be most helpful to us?
Kim Bowdry, do you have a...
Yes, the extension would be very helpful. And then what is the other question?
Well, so I've also presented the option they could have no three-year plan at all.
Great.
I mean, and I think it's probably best practice to have a strategic plan posted. So for me, just for like how it looks to the public and what you're communicating to the public, that would be my preference.
That's fine.
The first motion. But, you know, obviously, like, no plan at all is less work. It's just, is less work better?
I think it's fine to continue with the first option. I'm sorry. Chris and I were talking about something that I need to do for Chris so he can do his job. So,
yeah, that's
it's not
okay.
A big deal. It was just more confusion from me. So,
yeah. Georgiana, did you have anything, any comment on that? What's your feeling? Microphone is off.
I think that we should extend the first possible, the first motion is
okay.
Is extending.
Do you want to go ahead and read that one then?
Okay. A motion to extend the current CCDDB 3-year plan through 2025 with revised 1-year objectives for 2025 as a bridge to a new 3-year plan for 2028.
I'll second that. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Your microphone went off. Your microphone went off.
Motion carries.
Well, now we have a presentation, so you don't
I don't have to do anything. Good. All right, we have a presentation from our evaluation people, evaluation capacity building. Oh, they must be there because I see the PowerPoint.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to try to share my screen if possible. No, that's I think that's the host screen. Can I share my screen?
Oh.
I have a little PowerPoint.
I'm so sorry, Jacinda. No. I was doing something else.
I return it. Yeah. Great. I'm gonna share. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Jacinda Derietis. I am director of the Family Resiliency Center and leading the evaluation capacity building project. We're super excited to be here today to give you a cliff note version of the report, which you see in your packet. And I'm sure everyone was very energetic and read every single detail of it. But if you didn't, here's a cliff note version of it. And if you did, this is just a reminder of the highlights. So first, I'd like to start with providing gratitude to the board members and staff for funding this and believing in such a project and making time and space and funding for it, as well as agency staff and leaders who made time and space to provide information, data, and also to have their capacity built. So very much appreciated for our participants. Also, my collaborator, Nathaniel Underland, Nate, who's behind me. I'd like to introduce him. He can stand up and say hi. So Nate joined us, and he is responsible for putting our thoughts about microlearnings into reality and making the video and content for those. And we will have a sneak peek of one later so that you can actually see what it is and not just hear what a microlearning is. Also, we've had research and evaluation assistants who've helped, and also the funding from the boards. So just as an overview of what I'm going to go through today, I'd like to give my takeaways first. So spoiler alert, here are the takeaways. And then I revisit the takeaways at the end to see, were these the takeaways that you had as well, or did you have others? So, and then we'll go through the context, the key findings, moving towards empowerment, which is what our next steps would be, not only in the next year, but next couple of years, hopefully. And then we'll show a microlearning video. Exciting? We're excited?
Yes.
Yay! Happy hump day. All right. So some takeaways from our year one needs assessment were that agencies and boards want to be heard. Do you want to be heard? Everyone wants to be heard? So using participatory approaches, which we use here, is actually partnering with everyone so that their voices are heard, so that we know what their needs are and what actions would be helpful for them. And then everyone wants resources, so knowledge, improving efficiencies, and engaging in more efficient storytelling. And then last is to work together. Like, we're all in this together to make these services as great as they can be in the community, reaching as many people as we can effectively, and starting to move those outcomes and having long-term impacts. And so working together in terms of communities of practice, having open communication are some of the recommendations that we had. We also want to acknowledge that the work that's being done by boards and agencies, board staff, is hard work, and they're doing a great job and a great service, and we just want to let everyone know that even though there's capacity to be built, there's a lot of great work that's occurring. So some context, talking about our project goals and our approach, is building capacity and partnering. So we are building the capacity of boards and agencies using these participatory and empowerment approaches. So empowerment approaches are about building capacity so that others can do on their own. So it's by those agencies, by the boards, and so forth. And participatory is doing with. So it's the with and the by. And then our year one goal was to really determine what the needs, strengths, and expectations were for the team's roles and activities, and also moving into that action. And if I'm going too quickly, please let me know. So our approach is participatory. So centering staff voice and multiple perspectives was a major desire for the boards and also agencies, and this also provides a more holistic understanding of what the current capacity is, what has worked well, and what needs remain. And then, as I said before, capacity building is what's empowerment, so that boards and agencies can implement and sustain the practices and become continuous learning organizations. This is a graph that has a lot of words. What I wanted to showcase here is helicopter science historically has been coming in and doing two and four others, and we're moving along that continuum with this project, and it has been doing this, is to move towards that with and by that it explained. So with partners and then providing the capacity for them to do the activities, identify their outcomes, measure them, and so forth, as the by the agencies and boards. So empowerment evaluation, as you can see, there's the desired outcomes all the way on the left, like to achieve desired outcomes, but how do you get there? Well, first you have to look at what is the current capacity, right? So that's the needs assessment, is seeing what is the current capacity. And then utilizing tools that we're developing, trainings, technical assistance, and quality improvement. But in order to know what those should be, the content of them, you need to do the needs assessment. And then with this, understand the current capacity, providing these additional tools, trainings, technical assistance, and quality improvement, we can move towards the actual outcomes being achieved. So that's where we're moving. And that's why we did this needs assessment in this first year, as well as starting to build the capacity. So for those of you who love data, data geeks, anybody? Maybe not. Okay, yay. By the numbers. Who likes numbers?
Okay.
So we had 13 interviews and focus groups held with agency leaders, board members, past evaluators. We had a group level assessment, and even though that one is there, it's a little misleading because we had 19 agencies and 33 staff members give their wisdom during this with over 2,000 insights. We had two surveys, so a pre- and a post-survey for the group-level assessment, which gave us information about where they're at with some of the skills and measurement towards evaluation. Then we also reviewed agency reports, 64 of those, and we had 76 perspectives total combined contributing to this needs assessment, which is really impressive. And then if it gives you an appreciation of how much data, this is us reanalyzing and looking at all of the data from that. And that's not even all of it. It's just what could fit in that one space at that moment. So, but here's a picture of actually showing agency staff participating in the group level assessment, which we took over a major room at the library to do it. So making sense of data, also known as analysis. So we read all of our data, the interviews, the focus groups for key ideas. We reviewed open-ended questions and survey data. We reviewed the agency reports, and we did the group-level assessment. Staff analyze those data during the session, which is what the beauty of that is that they're actually analyzing and interpreting and determining what are the priority areas. And then we also did it because the time in that session was short. We didn't want to miss anything. So we looked for more specific granular training topics and so forth when we re-examined those data. So what did we learn? We don't know what we don't know. So staff at agencies and even board members were saying, like, we don't know exactly what the wording is, the language. We don't know what we don't know. So familiarity varied. There are some agencies and members that really had, you know, great capacity and familiarity, and others that were just starting out. And so trying to understand that variation and then meeting people where they are. So the capacity building is needed across all of the levels, even those who are doing it very well, to move towards impact. But recognizing the fact that people may be doing it and not knowing that they're doing it, and figuring out what language do we need to use that gets out of the jargon and make sure that we're all speaking the same language. So some recommendations for improving familiarity with evaluation is identifying which resources are going to be most useful, compiling and creating those evaluation resources so that they're easily accessible for agencies to make the time and the space to participate in capacity building opportunities, including trainings, and then to communicate with agencies about why evaluation capacity is important. They know it's important, just sometimes hearing it additionally is and from funders and from others is helpful to reinforce that message. So our second finding is user-friendly evaluation training is needed, and all parties are receptive to learning. So when we spoke with everyone, board members, board staff, agency leaders all said that they're receptive to learning more, which is great. And it's really using that training to meet people where they are and making it so that it's in user-friendly terms, and we're not making anyone cry or anything like that, but we can make them smile and happy, so. We're moving in that direction. And agency staff and board members are willing to learn. So here's a quote that we thought was really poignant about that says, I am new to the nonprofit world and am excited to have the chance to absorb different vocabulary, focus points relating to evaluation and reporting versus a more corporate background I came from. So really wanting to move in this direction of learning this language and embracing it, which was really exciting to see. So some of the recommendations is the user-friendly evaluation trainings. So developing these micro-learnings, which we have developed two of them already, and there are many topics listed here, not all of which we can do in the next year, but we're identifying the priority areas of the ones we should focus on, and we're working on those so that they're accessible to everyone at all times on demand. And then also providing feedback on these training and materials. Are we hitting the mark? Is there something else we should be doing? So having that continuous feedback loop is what we're recommending as well. So giving back time. So everyone wants more time. We can't really give you time, but what we can do is create greater efficiencies that leave time for you to do other things. And so that's what we're trying to do. So agency staff really have limited time and capacity. They are wearing many hats. Sometimes the evaluation work is like the fifth thing that they're being asked to do. They weren't necessarily trained in it. And just understanding that they have limited time and finding ways to make sure that what we're asking is not burdensome, but in the long run is creating greater efficiencies. So standardizing tools and so forth. But this is also true of board staff as well, and making sure that their time is being used for what they need it to be, and that we as evaluators can create tools and resources that are easily accessible so that agencies don't have to go to board members or board staff for every question. And so that's what we're working on in creating greater efficiencies with reporting as well. So our recommendations for giving back time includes technical assistance for agencies that are really needing it, institutionalized knowledge and procedures so that when there's turnover in agencies, it's not reinventing the wheel, that they have created some tools that then can be passed along to the next individuals, training and best practices for data collection and management, because once those systems are more fully smoothly working, then it gives you more time to work on other things. Agencies can make time and space for these and shared evaluation strategies that work for their entire agency so that they're not doing different things for different programs. And then for the board to provide funding to cover evaluation activities, potentially thinking about a linked data system, which we've started to talk about, if it's even feasible or desirable, and then allowing appropriate time frames to understand that we're not going to solve all of the concerns that we have in a year or 2 years, but giving grace and understanding that incremental changes might be necessary for some outcomes, whereas others might be more easily attainable in shorter periods of time. A fourth finding is developing capacity for storytelling and effective reporting. I don't know about you, but storytelling to me doesn't mean that it's fiction. It's a way of communicating something that's meaningful and impactful and things that people remember easily. And it's a skill to be learned. Not everyone are great storytellers to begin with, and so utilizing evaluation methods to help people explain their stories and improve their reporting. And so we have here someone saying that they're a relatively small organization and they have a hard time gathering data from all of their participants. So they have found that qualitative data to be the most informative and not just the quantitative data. So talking to families, participants, staff, and using those rich stories to inform their decision-making process is probably the most useful for evaluating their agency services. It would be nice to have more quantitative data to back this up, but getting that consistently has been challenging. So helping them first showcasing that qualitative data and understanding the value of it, and then also maybe some best practices to get that quantitative data that they might need to reinforce the stories that they're trying to say. So our recommendations for this is offering trainings on effective storytelling, also understanding how and when to present quantitative and qualitative data to tell those impactful stories, making that time and space to attend these trainings from an agency perspective, and then simplifying or refining previous report templates, which the board has already done, which the agencies have very much valued, and then also giving concrete examples of effective outcomes or expected outcomes and openness to qualitative findings as well. And our last finding is that adopting a mindset of we're all in this together. So aligning expectations, cross-agency collaboration, evaluation team engagement, showing that we're all in it together to move these outcomes. And so this is a quote, since I've been on the board, I've known that there was an evaluation capacity project going on, but I didn't know that much about it. And I think keeping us board members more in the loop, like maybe telling us, you know, giving a report at each of our meetings, like what's going on, what you're doing, it would sure be helpful to me to know what's going on. And so we've implemented this, right? Just fact-checking. And we think it's important because we are all in it together and making sure that we're being transparent and also communicative so that you know what we're doing and the work that's going on. So continuing to have regular progress meetings and brief agency overview videos. So we're thinking of piloting this where we're working with agencies to tell their story that then can be used for lots of different purposes, including having others understand what they're doing and how they're moving towards their outcomes. We have a working group that is already started and will hopefully develop into a learning community. So if there are other agencies that want to participate in this working group, they can reach out to us. And it's really a place of shared knowledge, things that are working well that aren't, and also giving feedback on the language we're using. Is it too much jargon? Is it hitting the mark? Which is really helpful to us. Also continuing to make that time and space to participate in these activities and to improve communication channels. So moving towards empowerment, which is really moving towards that capacity building, right? So what we have in our findings is a roadmap for moving agencies to the outcomes. And from our GLA, we're pulling this out. We've had some participants who say things like they don't really know what they're doing or they're having so many hats. So we want to move from the don't follow me, I'm just a hamster on a hamster wheel, to some experience required, which everyone is recognizing, to a you got this, so that we are really empowering others to know that they can do this, they are doing it, and that we're here to help them continue to move in that direction. So some next steps, intensive technical assistance with a few selected programs, on-demand microlearnings that are accessible to all, gaining feedback and guidance from the working group, to make sure that what we're doing is accessible and within the priority areas and useful, developing workshops and trainings for everyone to be able to participate in and to implement the recommendations identified as highest priority in the report, because there are far more than I've reported here, as you probably know because you've read it. And there's a lovely table, if you like tables or matrices, at the end that shows all of it in one fell swoop. Obviously, not every part of it can be done in year two, but it's a roadmap as we move forward. So here's a fact checked. Are these the takeaways that you have from what I presented? Thumbs up, yay. Thumbs down, no. I don't know. Great. Okay, sounds like we're on board. So I'd like to close, if we have a few minutes, five, to show the microlearning. Yes? Yay. I hope so, too. Can I turn this microphone off and then turn this on and see if it works? All right, we'll try this. Let me come out of presentation mode and turn this on.
Today we are going to talk about how to avoid overpromising and underdelivering.
No. What?
You may need to actually share the sound through Zoom, so you may need to like go all the way out of sharing and then click on share Zoom.
You are brilliant. So I have to go into...
Just share your screen and just make sure that the checkbox is clicked, share sound.
Share sound.
Today we're going to talk about how to avoid overpromising and underdelivering when it comes to program evaluation. You will learn some tips to implement when you're writing grant applications or similar items. And by the end of this video, we hope you understand how to focus on a few top priority outcomes that are achievable within the reporting period. This video will use a metaphor to walk through some of these tips. We will introduce you to a hypothetical project called Canines for Our Minds. Canines for Our Minds is a dog training and therapy program for people who experience PTSD. And the program has three steps. These are steps that a trainer, psychologist, and a dog owner will go through together. The first step is a basic command program in which the dog learns new tricks. The second is an advanced dog training program that takes it to the next level. And the third are therapy sessions involving the dog and a clinician for 1 year. We have different outcomes targeted for each of these steps. For this hypothetical example, we're going to focus on how to avoid overpromising and underdelivering in the first stage of the program, basic command training. This is Mozzie. Mozzie needs to learn some new tricks. Mozzie's trainer promises that he will know 20 tricks by the time he finishes the program. 20 tricks, wow. I can't wait.
Thank you so much for trusting Mozzie to us. Mozzie learned how to sit, lay down, take a bow, raise the roof, stay, and come. Good boy, Mozzie. Yeah, so what do you think?
Wait a second. I thought you said 20 tricks. Okay, let's try this again. This is Mozzie. Mozzie's trainer promises that she will teach him the fundamentals, like sit, stay, and down. Wow, I wasn't expecting Mozzie to be able to speak and take a bow.
And so in the example we just went through, we talked about making sure we only promise the essential tricks. To take this example to the next level, we'll look at a hypothetical list of all the desired outcomes that might result from this program and considering all of the steps of the program. And so we're hoping that this program results in reduced severity of symptoms, PTSD remission, improved sleep, improved well-being, knowledge on how to handle service animals, skills on how to optimize service animal experience, improving interpersonal relationships, and tools for fostering self-care and resilience. Some of these outcomes could be measured pretty quickly, but some we might not expect to see for a longer period of time. And so being able to report on all of these outcomes would require a really long survey at different time points or other forms of assessment. And that means it would take more capacity to develop, more energy from the participant, and more capacity to analyze and report on those outcomes. Instead, we want to focus on, let's say, the three top priority outcomes for this program. So we decided that 90% of individuals should be able to report on reduced severity of symptoms, 90% of individuals report improved well-being, and 100% of individuals gain skills on how to optimize their service animal experience. These outcomes can be accurately measured using clinical assessment, self-reporting, and there are not so many that it would be too challenging to deliver on. Most programs like this hope to see a variety of outcomes, and it can be challenging to pick just a few. But focusing on the most important desired outcomes makes it easier to deliver what we hope to see. Here are some tips for ensuring we can deliver what we promise. Pick three outcomes that directly relate to program activities, that can be ideally achieved and measured within the reporting period, and can be measured with reliable and valid measurement tools. So if we think back to our three core examples, that 90% of individuals report reduced severity of symptoms, for example, we know that we expect to see a reduced severity of symptoms based on previous literature that says that dogs will help with severity of symptoms. We can also know that we can expect to see these outcomes within the reporting period, and we also know that there are reliable and valid measurement tools for assessing severity of symptoms and well-being. So stay tuned for a new micro-learning about choosing and measuring program outcomes. Thanks for watching.
Well, thank you. And so Nate, again, made our idea a reality. So, and there's another micro-learning, too, on our website, and it's all accessible through our resources and the URLs in the report. And we're working on other ones based on the priorities set forth from our needs assessment. So, any questions, thoughts, feedback?
I have a thought, and I, as I was listening to you and reading this report and the video, and I'm thinking to myself that there are so many nonprofits out there that are not disability related that could benefit so much mm-hmm. from this kind of work. Mm-hmm. So thank you for all that you've done.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And that's why we want to make it accessible to all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though, you know, you had the vision and foresight to fund it and invest resources in it, the fact that we can make it accessible to all, I think, is really important. So I appreciate that. Yeah.
Are there questions, comments from the board?
I just want to say thank you. It's wonderful. The report was very easy to read and great information. And I look forward to looking at your micro-learning. I think that it's beneficial for us as board mm-hmm. members to think about what we should be asking agencies for. So thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, where are we? A three-year plan timeline? No, we did that one. So we're at the third quarter reports and data, and that's just the information only section. Claims data is also information only, and I think everyone's had a chance to look at those. Are there any comments or questions on it? And I think where do we put this vote on the date for the next meeting?
Oh, you don't have to vote.
The chair of the board has the privilege to cancel any board meetings or add board meetings.
Yes. Okay. Well, so just on that note, we are going to cancel the June meeting. So make your vacation plans now. And moving on to successes and other agency information. Who's got something to share?
Hi, Patty Walters. I know it's been a really long meeting, so everybody behind me is probably sorry that I got up, but two really quick things. Last Wednesday, we had several advocates go over to Springfield for an advocacy day, and just wanted to share that one gentleman was new to to advocating and was very excited about speaking with legislators and brought his own personal issue, but it's, you know, it's a big one that we're all familiar with, regarding the limitations of Social Security benefits for someone who's employed, and also the allowance that they receive if they're living in a SILA setting. So it was really nice for him to be able to speak on his own behalf rather than, and you know, kind of always having somebody else do that for him. So that was a great experience, and I see much more advocacy happening with him. And the other thing is, because I mentioned it to the last couple of months, the ABLE informational meeting happened last week, and we had between 50 and 60 people in person and virtually. The state treasurer's office did a great job with the presentation. It was a really nice, diverse group of people. There were several that already had an ABLE account established and some that didn't know anything about it. And so it was a good mix of people and information, and we were excited that it was received as well as it was. So I think that's going to gain some momentum with people kind of preserving funding and thinking about, you know, life insurance policies and trusts versus ABLE accounts and things. So it ended up being a really nice forum. So that's all I wanted to share today. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
This is Becca with Community Choices. I'll also be very quick. I just wanted to let the board know about the TPC event that was in late April. I think that was like after the meeting last time. Timelines are getting a little mixed up, but we had about 150 students who attended, and quite three different presenters in sort of in one area, as well as myself and some folks from DSC presenting for folks who might need more longer term supports. We had a number of families who attended. It was a really great event. We looked at the feedback that people gave us, which was overwhelmingly very positive. And we're looking at, there was some suggestions about maybe trying to do an event in the fall so that parents could have a chance to sort of work on things throughout the year. And so we are kind of trying to get our subcommittee ready to go for hopefully being able to present something to the community in maybe like September, early October time. So it was a really great event, though. Lots of people worked together to make it possible.
Great. Anybody else? I don't see any movement, do you? Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for that information. It's really helpful. County board input.
I have no input at this time. No, I mean, you guys are all doing a great job. You know, it's the beginning of our budget cycle on the board side, so I'm kind of focused on that right now, but keep on.
Thank you very much, Leah. Champaign County Mental Health Board input.
They'll meet tonight to make decisions about funding with a few more proposals than you did, and with not enough money to go around, so there will be some hard decisions, and I think that because of that, it could be a long meeting. They had a study session last week, and no one is very pleased with, you know, when there's not enough money to go around, and yet the applications were strong, and they're for projects that are of high priority. So I don't want to be doom and gloom. It's still really wonderful that we live in a community that adds these funds so that we can improve the local systems. I, you know, want to sort of tap into that, what's wonderful about that for tonight. They will also have a decision about a late audit. So, you know, again, that's a those are always hard conversations. But I know we'll get through it. I know tomorrow will be great. Anyway.
Okay, any board announcements? Nothing. Okay. I don't have anything either. And it is, what time? 10:15, and we are adjourned. Thank you so much for coming. That was much shorter than I thought it would be, actually.
Oh, nice.